Hello, this is Pastor Brandon Fender, and I'd like to welcome you to another transforming message from right here at Living Way Church. I believe that your life will be impacted by the words you hear today. For more faith-based content, check us out on all social media outlets. Now let's go live into the message.
It's going to change your marriage. Come on. Going to change your children, your family. Going to get your faith up. Going to change your ministry. Going to change your money. Going to change your job. Anywhere where you are, things are going to change if you get this in your spirit. Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. Somebody say hope. Oh, thank you, young man, young lady, whoever that was. The evidence of things not seen. Find two people, and I need you to aggressively tell them, get your hopes up. Oh, that's good. That's good. You may be seated. You may be seated. Get your hopes up. Living Way, you're going to hear that mantra all year long. Get your hopes up. If we got to make bumper stickers, we'll make bumper stickers. This ain't a campaign ad. This is a Jesus message for this church. Get your hopes up. Regarding everything you're connected to, get your hopes up. We want to see shirts with it on. We want notebooks. We want joggers. We want everybody to get your hopes up. We want you to put it on your mirror in your bathroom. We want you to put it on something in your car so that everywhere you are, no matter what's going in your ear at work, no matter what's going on social media, you know my hope is not anchored in this world. My hope is anchored in Jesus Christ. And what Jesus Christ has said, that's what I believe. What Jesus is doing, that's what I want to be a part of. Somebody say, get your hopes up. I've heard so many times in my life by so many people, don't get your hopes up. They're literally telling you, don't have expectation. Reality will never match your desire, your faith, your expectation. And so they downgrade, they diminish hope, and they have diminished hope. And they want everybody around them to have diminished hope. Oh, you better be careful who you hang out with. You better be careful who you do business with. You better be careful who you sit next to at church. You better be careful who you date. You better be careful who you marry. You better be careful who you sit next to in the cafeteria at school, young person. Why? Because hopeless people are dangerous people. And because they don't believe it, they don't want you to believe it. Because they didn't achieve it, they don't want you to achieve it. And it's the old crab thing where the crab can't get out of the bucket. And so the moment that you start making strides to become better, to do better, they pull you down. I want to be surrounded in 2022 with people that says, yes, you can. If that's what God promised you, I don't have to understand it. If you heard from God, then God's going to do it. If that's what God's word said, then I'm going to pray that God brings it to pass. You need to get away from small-minded people. You need to get away from negative people. You need to get away from faithless people. And you need to surround yourself with some faith-filled people. And that's why your circle can't grow larger. Your circle has to grow smaller, because sometimes I feel like I'm in the Old Testament and God's saying, I need you to find 50 faithful people. And I look around and say, 50? God, it's hard for me to find 5 people that I can ride with, do life with, that'll come keep me fired up according to what God has said, what God has promised, and what God is doing. If you can't give me hope, if you can't inspire hope in me, then baby, you've got to go. Facebook has a block button. Instagram has a block button. TikTok has a block button. Some of us need to block in life what we learned on social media. You don't have to pick up the phone. You don't have to go to their house. You don't have to sit at the family reunion. Some of you have made an art of it. You can go have Thanksgiving dinner, sit there for 30 minutes, and then get up and leave. You don't have to sit there for 2 or 3 days commiserating with somebody who has no hope. That's why I love Living Way. When you come into this house, you're going to get the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Sometimes that good news is like good medicine. Sometimes it might be a little bitter at first, but you know that medicine is going to work in your life. I am here to tell you, as long as I'm a part of this church and pastoring this church, when you walk in these doors, we're going to inspire you with the message of Jesus Christ. We're going to give you hope and build faith. You're not going to get bad news here. You're not going to be manipulated here. We're just going to give you Jesus, and if you got them, we're going to give you more of them, and if you
have more of them, we're going to keep giving you Jesus until the day you die. Get your hopes up. Get your hopes up. Hopeless people are dangerous people. First, they're danger to themselves. You know one of the greatest miracles in my life? That God has gotten me away from people before they explode. I don't know how many people that I was friends with, that I was walking life with, that 6 months after God removed me from their life or them from my life, they just imploded. They just exploded. And at the time when God took me from them or them from me, I was saying, God, I really enjoyed that relationship. I don't understand what you're doing. Only for 6 months later for me to say, oh, okay, God, you were protecting me because you knew what they were about to do. Hopeless people are dangerous to themselves, but then they're dangerous to you, they're dangerous to your faith, and they're dangerous to your future. Besides the people that I talk to in the business world and conduct business with every day, I probably have a meaningful conversation with less than 10 people every day. My parents, my wife, my children, that's five. Two or three of my best friends and a couple pastor friends. Me and Mario chop it up about faith all day long because all we do is ministry. We're not trying to buy real estate together. We're trying to build the kingdom together. And so 8 or 9, 10 people in my life, those are the people that were always talking about hope. That Jesus is not done with this generation. That the church, I am so sick and tired of seeing pastors lament of the state of the church. And most of it is not of the church, it's their church. And I want to tell them, hey, pastor, you're the one leading them. If your church is anemic, it's your pastor's fault. If your church has no faith, it's the pastor's fault. Because he's not preaching it, living it, or expounding on what God is doing. This is a hope church, and we are hope dealers. Oh, that's a shirt, hope dealers. Put that one down. We are a hope church. We are hope dealers. And from this point on, every person in your life needs to inspire hope in you, or they've got to go. Remember, you're in relationship with a few. You minister to everybody. Relationship with a few. You minister to everybody. You can't be in relationship with everybody. You will minister to everybody, including the ones you're in relationship with, but you can only be in relationship with a few. When someone becomes hopeless, the enemy literally has them in a place where they have zero expectation for their future. Man, that's a scary place to be. Sister Dahlia, as moments in my life, some bad moments of my life, I never once thought of putting a gun in my mouth. That never won, because the Jesus in me, Sister Tammy, when it's a bad moment, I'm always saying, tomorrow's going to be better. Why? You say, why? Is there a plan for tomorrow? Oh, there's a lot of plans, but I just have to put my faith in Jesus, that he didn't keep me this far, this long. He didn't bring me this far for what I'm facing, a bad day, a bad moment, a bad season. But I am here to tell you, hopeless people have zero expectation. And if you have zero expectation, I don't know how you get out of bed in the morning. Because when I get out of bed in the morning, I start talking to myself, ooh, today's going to be a good day. I don't know what God's going to do, but I'm glad I'm a part of it. Oh, God's going to open doors over here. Oh, God's going to speak this into my life. God's going to use me to do. It's an exciting, adventurous world when you have hope. Hopeless, in most cases, leads to depression. Depression leads to suicide, and we might not be talking about suicide physically, but suicide of your future. And if you have no future, then it's just as bad as taking your physical life. If you're meandering through life with no expectation, no faith that God still is, that God is a rewarder of them to diligently seek him, that's a tough sell. I'm not here to sell you anything. I'm here to encourage you to give your life to Jesus Christ. Because if you get the Jesus that I get and you get filled with his Holy Ghost, depression cannot stay. Suicidal thoughts cannot stay. Anxiety cannot stay. Nervousness cannot stay. Doubt cannot stay. Why? Because I have a blessed hope in Jesus Christ. Get your hopes up. John 10:10, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, I've come to give you life. In life more abundantly. What if I told you the devil wasn't after your money and health as much as he's after your hope? What if I told you that being broke, that wasn't really what the devil was trying to do, but instilling your hope, he made you broke. He really wasn't cancer wasn't like the reason, it was the weapon. But really, he said, if I can steal their hope, they don't even have to have cancer to die. You know why I know that? Because I've seen many shows. I've seen many news. I watched Dateline enough that everybody that dies is not murdered. But sometimes on the autopsy, they use this phrase. They died of natural causes. Natural causes? Hopeless. Because you can't see hope. So it doesn't show up on an autopsy. Hopeless. You can't see something that's not there. It doesn't show up on an autopsy. I'm here to tell you, the devil doesn't have to give you cancer. The devil doesn't have to rob you blind. The devil doesn't have to make your son or daughter prodigal. The devil doesn't have to mess with your mind. If he can just steal your hope, you'll do all of that on your own. If he steals your hope, you'll drive your kids away. If he steals your hope, you'll divorce your spouse. If he steals your hope, you'll waste your money. If he steals your hope, you'll create that environment. Oh, but for the people of God that have hope, for the people of God that in 2022 you said, my hope is here, but my hopes are going up. The arrow is pointed up. My expectation is bigger than it's ever been. My faith is growing and stronger than it's ever been. My hope is going up in Jesus' name. Hopeless versus hopeful. Hopeless means you have less hope than you did this time yesterday, earlier today, last year. But I want to be hopeful. I want to be full of hope. The devil knows if he can steal your hope, he can steal your future. If he can steal your hope, he can steal your future. And you say, when you say hope, what are you talking about? I'm talking about hope that is founded in Jesus Christ and his word. Hope in an administration is a bad use of your hope. Hope in Trump, bad use of your hope. Hope in Biden, bad use of your hope. Hope in money, bad use of your hope. If you're going to hope for something, make sure you're standing on the word of God so that when I hope for, I'm really hoping from, and what I'm hoping from is already settled in heaven. I'm not hoping that it happens. I have a blessed assurance and confidence in Christ that what he wrote, what he spoke, what he declared, I'm not hoping it happens. I know it happens, and I'm standing on the word of God knowing in faith and hope that it will happen. In 40 years of living, no one has ever said, get your hopes up. They've said, don't get your hopes up. But a few weeks ago, Bishop called me and he said two things. What are you doing? Told him what I was doing. And then without preparing me, he just said, get your hopes up. I had been racking my brain praying. I talked to Mandy. I talked to the kids. I talked to Mario. What's God saying for 2022? What's going to be the mantra of the church? What are we going to put on t-shirts? What is going to be our rallying cry? What are we going to say to the city? What are we going to... And no one came up with anything that just resonated with me until Bishop said, what are you doing? Get your hopes up. You say, why are you even talking about the what are you doing? It takes away from the get your hopes up. I thought the same thing until this week when I was preparing and putting all of my thoughts on paper. I thought, man, isn't that just like the father to ask the son, what are you doing? Get your hopes up. That's not how he said it, but that's how I'm going to preach it. Coming into 2022, God the Father is looking at some of us saying, hey, what are you doing? Get your hopes up. Why are you acting like that? Get your hopes up. Why are you doing those trivial things? Get your hopes up. Why are you fearful? Get your hopes up. What are you doing? Get your hopes up. Which means my hope is greater than what I've done and what I'm stuck doing. Get your hopes up. I don't care what color you are. Get your hopes up. I don't care what family you come from. Get your hopes up. I don't care if you had a drug addiction for 20 years and you're 20 years sober. Get your hopes up. That 20 days is going to turn into 20 years sober in Jesus' name. I don't care if you've never had two pennies to rub together. Get your hopes up. 2022 is a different year. This is a different faith. This is a different hope. What are you doing? Get your hopes up. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, get your hopes up. Get your hopes up. It's become a mantra of our family, of our offices. Get your hopes up. Last thing Mario said to me last night was he made a declaration about his financial future. And I just said, get your hopes up. It's done in Jesus' name. I'm walking through the living room the past 3 or 4 weeks before we could share this with you. I say, Mandy, what you doing? She said, oh, I'm writing a book. I said, get your hopes up. That's the New York best-selling book that God promised us. That's the one that's going to put you on the map so that you can influence millions with the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you own a business, get your hopes up. If you got prodigals, get your hopes up. If you're broke, get your hopes up. If you had a cancer diagnosis, get your hopes up. If your church hurt, get your hopes up. If you're dealing with bitterness, get your hopes up. I don't know what you're dealing with, but you are one hope invasion of having your life turn for the good in Jesus' name. Get your hopes up. As a man, for my marriage, my family, my church, we're believing and declaring this will be the greatest year of our lives, a year where impossibilities become possible, dreams and visions become reality, and promises are possessed. Back in September, and I'm going to close with this, and we'll continue this on next week at 11 a.m. Back in September, Mandy and I visited NASA Johnson Space Center in Houston, Texas. We toured the entire facility. It's amazing what age does to you. Used to love to ride all the roller coasters. Now we're just riding the tram at the NASA space station. Going through a little history stuff. Come on now. I'm limping around, can't play basketball anymore. And I'm like, darling, let's go down to the NASA space station. Let's relive a little history. 1969, let's go. One of the cool things, though, is that the actual control room that they have left untouched is sitting in that complex, in that facility. And they have what I thought was something they added onto it later. They have a movie theater behind it, but it's actually not a movie theater. It's where people's families of those working behind the glass that were working on that launch and the moon landing, and all the, they sat there, and so they reenact everything. And what was amazing to me is while we sat there, I just pictured in my mind the most educated people in the world sat in that room, and they launched. I don't care how big the rocket is compared to the Earth and Moon. They basically strapped a rocket to men's backs and sent them to the moon. Now, I know a lot of you are conspiracy theorists. You don't think we landed on the moon. I'm going to ask you to suspend belief for a moment, because if not, get your hopes up, please. Come on. The brightest minds that have ever lived sat in that room. They made calculations. They computed things. The brightest minds of our generation sat there, and they launched that rocket, and that NASA shuttle went up in the air. But listen to this. I sat there, and when that rocket took off, I said, all of the intellect that they have, and once that rocket went up in the air, they shifted from intellect to hope. Some of them atheist, some of them agnostic. But when the shuttle left, they, even if they didn't verbalize it, they began to think it. I hope that we've done what we can do to make sure that they get to the destination they're going and return safely. I am here to tell you, I know that we've got an educated bunch in the room today. I know we've got some of you got more degrees than a thermometer, and you're doctorate of this and doctorate of that, and I appreciate all that. Education has its place, and I believe every young person should pursue education and more, but I am going to tell you where education ends is where hope really takes off. And I don't care where what God has promised you. I do know this. You can plan, you can strategize, you can scheme, you can dream, but sooner or later it's out of your hands and you're going to have to say, God, I hope beyond hope. I hope against hope that what I've done combined with what you've done is enough to fulfill the mission. Pastor Beck, if you'll come. I'm sitting there. That's the burden of a preacher. Everything is a sermon. I went and saw Avengers. Thanos is there, and he's talking about he's the I am. Man, a holy indignation rose up in me in the Santikos, and I wanted to stand up and say, no, there is only one God. There is only one Lord, and Thanos, you are a creation from a very brilliant and creative mind, but you are not the I am. I remember watching Home Alone. Kevin McAllister's all by himself, and I wanted to reach through the screen and whisper, you're never alone, young Kevin. God is with you everywhere you go. And before I could even do it, Kevin ends up in Home Alone 1. He ends up at the church on Christmas Eve talking to God. I'm here to tell you, everything preaches to a preacher. So I'm sitting there, and I'm watching, and I'm having all of these thoughts. As educated and skilled as they are, they shifted to a moment of hope. Listen to this. The entire moon landing operated on 4 gigs of RAM. 4 gigs. This phone has a million times more capabilities with processing and RAM than they launched a shuttle. Now I'm beginning to think they didn't do it, Mario. They operated with memory. That this phone has 7 times more memory than they had. That tells me that they just had to eventually say, we've done what we can do. Now we've just got to hope. Just got to hope. And that's encouraging to me, church. Because, man, 2020, 2021, I did a lot. But I got to the end of me. Say, God, this is where hope kicks in. You say, Pastor Brandon, aren't you and Bishop a faith preacher? Oh, yeah, but you can't have faith without hope. You say, how do you know that? In the very verse we read, the definition of faith. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. You can't have faith if you don't have hope. You know how an agnostic or atheist starts believing? Not faith. Faith has already failed them because they put their faith in nothing. What changes an agnostic and atheist is they begin saying, what if? That what if is simply translated, I hope I'm right, but what if? I hope that what I believe is the correct, but what? And hope begins to turn to faith. I don't know where you are in your life, but I know if I've struggled with these feelings the last 2 years, going through a pandemic and all the craziness that our life throws at us, I know where I ended, but hope began. And it was my physical father, but it was God speaking to me that day in my truck when he said, what are you doing? Get your hopes up. Stand on your feet today. Very easy for me to give this invitation because I'm going to talk you out of it before I talk you into it. If you're not serious about walking the rest of your life, but the rest of this year in all-out hope and faith in Christ, it's better if you don't even walk down here. Why? Because if you walk down here and then go back to the same way you're living, the Bible calls that lukewarm. The word says I'd rather you be hot or cold. But if you're at a place You're saying, Pastor Brandon, what you just said, that resonates with me. The end of me is the birth of hope. I've done what I can do. I'm ready to let Jesus do everything that he can do and everything I cannot do. Families have joined us in this altar. Great families. Great young men, young man. Angie, God speaking. Here they come. I'm going to be honest with y'all. I thought, and I know I talked some people out of it, but I thought there'd be 100 people in this altar. Why? Because all of us have room for our faith to grow. Get your hopes up. Get your hopes up. You can have more love. You can have more peace. You can have more faith. You can have more joy. I'm talking to you. You've been saved 30 years. That's great. Congratulations for walking it out straight for 30 years. But there's more. Say, how do you know there's more? You're still living. More faith in Christ. More hope in Christ. More to do in Christ. As they stand in this altar today, I want to ask you, I'm way out of time, but I'm going to ask you in Jesus' name. Is there anyone in this room that doesn't know Jesus? Is there anyone in here that knows Jesus as the figure of the Bible, the Son of God, but you've never been introduced to him and claimed him as Lord, as Savior? You've never repented of your sins? I'm going to tell you as plain as I can. There is a real heaven and a real hell. The only way to get to heaven is Jesus Christ. Without repenting of your sin, without accepting him as your Savior, you will die eventually, no matter how good you think this earth is and what good you've done on this earth. Without Jesus, you cannot get to heaven. So if you've never said yes to Jesus, I'm going to invite you to join our tally of 18 last night that said yes to Jesus. I'm going to ask you to overcome pride and ego and not worry about what everybody else says, but say, God, I'm going to step out of my seat, and my hope is going to draw me closer to you. My hope is going to allow me to walk this aisle. We're not going to embarrass you. You don't have to say anything in this microphone. We're going to pray with you. We're going to lead you in a prayer of faith, prayer of repentance. Maybe you need to rededicate your life at the beginning of this year. Maybe you want to be baptized in water. We're ready to make that happen today. Maybe you want to be filled with the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues. That's a power. You talk about hope elevating. The Holy Spirit elevates everything in your life. But if you're in this altar today, I want to encourage you, get your hopes up. Get your hopes up. Don't listen to them. Listen to him. Get your hopes up. Don't put too much in what their word says. Stand on his word. Believe from a place of hope. Knowing confidently that what God has promised, what God has spoken to you, God is able to do. If you're at your seat and you're in a good place, I want you to stretch your hand, but I still believe there's another 2 or 3 dozen people. You've started a business. You've got something going on in your family. Get your hopes up. God can change it. God can change it. Maybe you're separated from your spouse and God has told you it's not over yet, and your spouse hadn't called, hadn't come home yet. Maybe you need to come to this altar and get your hopes up. But I want to encourage you, whether you make the step or not, wherever you are, lift your hands and just start saying, God, my hope's growing. My hope's going up. That arrow's pointing up in Jesus' name. Let's pray.
Oh, and
of this, but I want to put an exclamation point right here, because we'll kick off where we leave off next Sunday. Me and Mandy, all joking aside, Mandy and I are NASA nerds. We love the space program. We love all that stuff. We got T-shirts and hoodies and all that. But while I was there, they had a little silver astronaut. It looks like the one that used to be on the MTV Awards, but it's just a little silver astronaut. It sits on my desk. I've got a lot of little trinkets in my office that people have given me from sermon series or God spoke something through them. I got a little glass well that has a Jonah inside that reminds me of that sermon. I've got a hippopotamus from the sermon on what you say you see, and Adam called it a hippopotamus, so that's what it was. I got that in my office. But I bought this little astronaut because there's a phrase that NASA used for the space, for the moon launch, that I didn't know was their phrase until I went to the Space Center. They got it everywhere, all over the building. They got it on shirts. And it's simply this: failure is not an option. I've taken that as a mantra. I bought that little statue, put it on my desk. I look at it every day so that I remind myself. When it comes to my marriage, failure is not an option. When it comes to raising my kids, failure is not an option. When it comes to leading this great church and great people, failure is not an option. And we'll get to the what-if scenarios that we like to play, the devil likes to make us play in our head. But I'm here to tell you, when you lean back into Christ and say, my hope is that this will work, that it will, that failure is not even an option on the table, your life will soar in Jesus' name. The moon launch, moon landing, what an awesome accomplishment if it really happened. I think it did. But more than that, I want to get to where God has called me to be. You to get where God has called you to be. Failure is not an option. Get your hopes up. God's going to do great things. Amen? If you got a second mile offering, lift it up right now. God, we thank you. God, over time here today, but Lord, you've spoken. Lord, I'm encouraged. God, I feel like I preached this just like you gave it to me, God. I thank you, Lord, for full altars and full hearts and full spirits. God, I pray that, Lord, this would become not just a mantra or a T-shirt, but would become a part of our daily living in hope and faith and love. Lord, I pray, God, that what is happening here, God, would continue on outside the four walls of this church. Bless this offering, the second mile, going beyond what is required. In Jesus' name, for kingdom ministry and family, amen and amen. God bless you as you give. Want to encourage you. Don't need to sign up. Living Way launch starts here in about 10 or 15 minutes. Meet us right over here, and we'll take you to the green room where we'll have some light refreshments, talk about who we are and what we're doing. If you're signed up, go ahead and meet us over there. If you're not signed up, you'd like to, there's still time to join us today. Then tomorrow night, 7 p.m. to 8 p.m., we'll do our very best to make it 60 minutes, and then you can get home and watch the second half of the game. But we'd love to see you tomorrow evening for Heart and Soul Night. Listen, before you leave, turn to somebody and tell them, get your hopes up. Here's your homework. Put it on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, Snapchat. Get your hopes up. Encourage somebody around you to not go down, but to get their faith and hope up in Jesus' name. We love you, and Jesus loves you 24 hours each and every day. God bless you.